Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, time for us to get into our first conversation, and we're speaking about girls navigating friendships, right? And to join us for this conversation, we'll be speaking with Usiso Sne Phakathi. She's joining us on the line. Good morning, Sne.
Good morning, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're talking about a very interesting subject here. I was saying to the listeners earlier that I still remember a time when I was still referred to as a girl, and some of the complications of girl friendships and things like that. So I'm very interested in this conversation. Now, the friendships are some of life's greatest treasures, as we know, but they're not always smooth sailing. And for girls, navigating friendships can sometimes feel like walking through a maze of trust, misunderstandings, and occasional drama. And the good news is that building trust and resolving conflict is a skill. And with God's guidance, it's one that can turn friendships into lifelong blessings. So, Sne, please speak to us a little bit about what the Bible teaches us about building and maintaining healthy friendships.
Thank you so much, Bonnie, for the opportunity. I'd like to say good morning to the listeners. So the interesting thing is that the Bible has so many teachings and so many principles about friendships. I didn't know some of them until I delved deeper into the topic of friendships and what God says about friendships. And the thing is, friendships are a beautiful thing if they are done right and when both parties or all the parties involved are willing to make them work. You know, friends influence your values, your decisions. It's essential for you to choose them wisely. Mm. One of the scriptures in the Bible, which is Proverbs 12, verse 26, says, "A righteous person gives good advice to his friends, but wicked people are always taking the wrong path." Mm. Then you find another scripture in Proverbs 22, verse 24 to 25, which says, "Do not befriend angry people or associate yourself with hot-tempered people, or else you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul." The Message Bible puts it so nicely, the last part. It says, "Bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected."
Sure.
So friends also provide support and encouragement and companionship during life's challenges and joys. You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 10 that says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But one who fails, who falls alone, is in trouble." This shows us that friends can also be great accountability and purpose partners. Friendship is really important aspect of one's life, and God desires us to have such beautiful relationships with those close to us. And we can have friends with different spheres. As I said, we can have them as purpose partners, we can have them as prayer partners, we can have them as passion or joy partners. You know, friends cover a multitude of aspects in our life. Mm-hmm. And there are various examples in the Bible that embody good quality friendships that are centered around loyalty, love, and mutual support. You know, just to mention a few, there is David and Jonathan, which is found in 1 Samuel 18, verse 20. This is an example of love and loyalty, because Jonathan, who was King Saul's son, from the deep end with David, despite his father's jealousy and hostility towards him. Jonathan risked his life to protect David and support his God-given destiny to become a king. We find Job and his friends who embody comfort and sometimes even good friendships, because Job's friends came to comfort him during a time of suffering.
Yeah.
And later on, they gave him misguided advice, which prompted God to rebuke them. And this reminds us that even the well-meaning friends at times, they can fail, but this is where God shows us that there is grace and restoration also in friendship. Then we find Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach, which is a friendship that was formed because of a shared faith. You know, these young men supported one another in a meaningful way and remaining faithful to God despite being exiled from Babylon. Mm-hmm. And their solidarity with themselves gave them the courage to stand firm in their faith. Then the last one, you find the greatest of friendships of all between Jesus and his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is found in John 15, verse 13 to 15. I'll quickly read it. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he may lay his life for his friends. You are my friend if you do what I command. I no longer call you servant because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friend, for everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. This is where Jesus displays the ultimate friendship by laying down his life for his disciples and calling them his friends. So truly, this shows that another aspect of friendship that the Bible speaks about is the sacrificial aspect of friendship that we need to take seriously.
Beautiful. I love that. And you know what? The thing that jumps out at me as you're speaking is just how important friendships are, because I think too often we look at them as just, when we think of friends, especially thinking of when I was younger, I remember for me, a friend would be whoever I can get along with, like whoever I'm not fighting with, whoever I can, you know, share a laugh with. But when you delve into all those other deeper aspects, it's not just about who you can pass the time with or who you can sit with so that you're not, you know, by yourself, so that you're not lonely, yeah, or just looking awkward by yourself, things like that. But it's actually so much deeper when you talk about purpose partners and prayer partners and, you know, people who you can go through life with, who can be accountability partners, all those things sound so much deeper. But I wonder if that all goes into the decision making in terms of friendship building, especially for girls at a younger age. Does a person have to go into it thinking about all those things, almost like, you know, you're interviewing for the job of friend? Do young people go into it, or should they go into it thinking, okay, I wonder if this person would be a good prayer partner for me, or I wonder if this person would be, you know, would help me along in my purpose, things like that? Is that something that we should be conscious of as young girls when making friends?
The thing is with friendships, right, especially like taking it from a young age, when you start kindergarten, there are things that we gravitate towards to, and they sort of like form naturally. Mm-hmm. Or you have a friend, you're in the same class, you're in the same grade, you're in the same neighborhood, but the more that you grow and you get into your high school, the time you start saying, oh, I don't like sitting with this person, because when I'm with them, afterwards I feel bad about myself.
Okay.
After I've sit with this person, or I feel like I should go and study harder and be a better person. So the thing with friendships as you grow older is that you need to be more intentional about them. I'm not saying that people should go and interview friends or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it is important for us to take the people that surround us very seriously, because at the end of the day, these are the people that mold and shape the how your life is going to turn out. These are the people that influence your values, your principles, and how your moral compass is going to develop across the both spectrum, yeah, of you growing up. So as we navigate as young girls, I think it is really important for us to consider the type of friends that we have. But before we even get to that, we need to understand and know the type of person that you are as an individual,
mm-hmm,
so that you know what type of people that you are looking for. So, for example, if you know that you're a person who loves praying and you love going to church, then try by all means to surround yourself with those people, because it becomes easier that on days where you're like, oh, I don't feel like going to church, I don't feel like praying today, yeah, you know that you have your circle of people who are,
yes,
going to hold you accountable.
Yes.
So remember, we said you're not going to miss church. Remember, we said you're going to fast and pray.
Yeah.
Remember, we said we are going to get 70% or 80%. Remember, we said we are going to church university when we finish with the trip.
Mm.
So those people, because they are aligned to the type of person and,
yes,
who you want to be in,
yes,
the future, it becomes easier for them to hold you accountable from a place of love, you know. And the other thing about building friendships is that you need to remember that everything that you do, you need to do it and speak it from a place of love. And you should never allow your words to be the ones that deter another person, take away from their self-confidence. So in as much as we can look at other people and say, I want you to be my good friend, but you should also look at yourself and ask yourself, are you being a good friend? If you want your friend to call you 3 times a week, do you call them 3 times,
yes,
a week? Do you buy them gifts? Do you wish them a happy birthday? Do you show up for them when they are in a time of need? Do you take time to be the type of person? Because at the end of the day, you can never expect what you can't give. And yes, there are seasons in life where you find yourself lacking in a certain aspect because of the challenges that we face. And yes, that's where friends are going to show up and cover you. But it's important that you are not the one who is always lacking, and you're not the one who is always draining, but you're supposed to be a fountain of life, and your friends are also supposed to be a fountain of life to continuously give life to you.
Love that. Love that. I really like the emphasis on being the friend that you want. A lot of times we're always looking at what the other person is doing or not doing for me, but what am I doing? Am I the kind of friend that I would like? Now, can you speak to us a little bit about how girls can navigate misunderstandings, turning conflicts into opportunities for growth? I think oftentimes, especially I feel like social media culture is to blame, because there's so much about toxic friendships and, you know, block them, just get rid of them. So how do we actually turn misunderstandings into opportunities for growth rather than just cutting people off at the first sign of, you know, difference of opinion or whatever?
I understand. Social media does put a lot of pressure on friendships. Like, I mean, just right now in December, there was the whole Christmas and people were matching their red clothes and giving each other gifts. So it's easy for you to fall into the pressure of wanting your friendship to embody a certain lifestyle that has been displayed to you by the public.
Yeah.
But one of the most important things that I've really applied in my circle of friends is, one, understanding the season that we are in, and showing up for each other as such. We are young, most of our friends are young people, we just started working, and we are still navigating the whole aspect of finances, of being corporate girlies, and everything like that. So showing up for each other means understanding that my friend won't get me a Gucci bag, because that's not where you are as yet.
Yeah.
And when it comes to my birthday, I can't send her a birthday list and request her to buy me a BMW or request her to take me to Zanzibar on a trip, because I know that's not where you are in our friendship group. But I would appreciate a coffee date or a catch up, or her visiting me, cooking together and doing those things. So the first thing about just before you even get to misunderstanding is to understand the season that you guys are in as friends, so that you can be able to create the expectations and the boundaries as such. But when it comes to understanding, as I've mentioned before, that the first thing is to understand and to speak from a point of love, and never to allow your words to be a point of hurt, even during conflict. The second thing is to always practice kindness. You know, no matter how hurt you may be, one of my other friends once said that no matter how much I can hurt you, but remember that even before I'm your friend, I'm also a human, and I deserve a certain level of kindness and compassion that comes from you by virtue of you just being human. Then you get to the aspect of friendship, where you, sometimes even if the person is your friend, you never know what they are going through.
Yeah.
So whenever you approach it, conflict, remember to also practice kindness in that. But also the other thing is, be an active listener. Don't rush to respond, because that's what we always try to do. Always want to defend ourselves. Like, no, but that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
That's not what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
But at the end, we end up losing the message that is being portrayed to us. So it's important for us to be active listeners and to understand things from their point of view, and understanding that sometimes there's really no one wrong. It's just a matter of a misunderstanding, and we both saw it from different perspectives, and now we're just trying to find a mutual ground about it. But the other thing is that you need to be prepared to have hard conversations, especially with friends that you have been with for a longer period of time, because that's where now you're not just friends because you went to school together, not because you went to church together, but now you've sort of chosen to do life with these people. So it's bound to happen that you will have misunderstandings. And at that moment, you need to be prepared to have those hard conversations. And when you have hard conversations, you need to then put in the work for you to become a better friend. Because it's one thing having the hard conversations and we cry and we roll our eyes out, but after that we go back to regular programming. That means that the misunderstanding or the argument that we had is bound to happen again. But it is important for you that after the misunderstanding, take the points of discussion and make sure that you have action items. That's what me and some of my friends do. You have action items to say, I don't like that you did this, or I didn't understand this properly. Mm-hmm. How can I be a better person to you? Then they'll give me action items to say, I think, Snay, because one of my weaknesses is that I take forever to respond in WhatsApp. So then I tell them that, it's better for you to just call me instead, because then I know that when you need me, I always answer my calls. I might not respond on WhatsApp, whether it be it a short thing or a long thing, but call me. So then now I know that whenever I get a call from my friend, I need to pick it up because I told them that they can call me. I gave them that permission, you know. They also extend the grace to know that if it's something important, I can send me a text, because even if she responds after 3, 4, 5 hours, it's still okay, you know. Mm-hmm. But also work on those action items. And always compliment good behavior. I think the thing about friendships that we are always so quick to say, you did this, you are not a good friend, you don't show up for me. But do we congratulate them, or do we commend them for being good friends in those times? Do we commend your friend for holding you when you're crying about the marks, about the fail that you got, or when things didn't go your way? We don't do that, and we need to start being more intentional to say, thank you for being a good friend. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for showing up for me. Thank you that in all that I am, you continue to love me in all those seasons. Also, apologize and forgive. We don't apologize to friends. We just think that, oh, because you're my friend, everything's going to be fine. No, the thing that you apologize to family, to your partner, to colleagues at work, we also need to apologize and forgive our friends. Set boundaries when necessary, because sometimes it's possible for you to want to overstep boundaries, because, I mean, I've known her for so long, so surely she's not going to mind.
Yeah.
Then it's important for you to set boundaries to say, yes, I don't mind you calling me, but you can't call me during working hours and expect us to have 3-hour conversation. Mm-hmm. So how about when you want us to chat for longer, call me in the evening instead? That's already a boundary set. And once a friend breaks that boundary, then you know that it constitutes a discussion. The last thing that I'd say is that you need to pray for each other and celebrate reconciliation and growth. There's nothing as beautiful as friends coming together to just pray. Praying for each other's goals, praying for each other's hearts, praying for each other's healings, because when we go into the world, we face so many difficulties, and we need to always come to a point where we know that we are going to be surrounded by prayer. And even when there are misunderstandings, pray before you even have that hard discussion to say, God, may you give us the wisdom and the words to utter so that they can damage each other, but also may you give us hearts that are receptive so that we can be able to forgive one another. You know, it's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be dramatic and I'll see our prayer, unless God, then the Holy Spirit prompt you to it through our prayer. But it's something as simple as that, to just pray for one another and cover each other, even in the shortcomings, especially when we've decided that this is a good person, I want to have them in my life for a longer period of time. Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that. And I love the intentionality behind all those things that you just mentioned. They don't happen by accident. You have to be intentional about, you know, whether it's setting boundaries, whether it is, you know, addressing conflict or apologizing when you've done something wrong. All of those things don't just happen by accident. And I think that's why they're so meaningful. When a friend apologizes, you know that they thought about this, and this was an intentional decision that they've made to in order to make our relationship, you know, flourish. Now, how then can girls balance honesty with kindness? Because I think that one is also, it can be a delicate balance there. How do we balance honesty with kindness, especially when addressing conflicts? I want to be honest about how you know, how this situation is making me feel, or I want to be honest about a behavior that you are exhibiting that is not healthy for you or for our relationship. But how do I do that without necessarily becoming unkind or disrespectful?
You know, kindness and honesty in friendship is also a very important thing. And especially because as ladies or as girls, we tend to be like very emotionally inclined, and we tend to have a higher emotional connection. So then it is found that at some point our emotions are going to be hurt. But the most important thing that I always try to intentionally do, that I try to remember that this is my friend, someone that I love and care about, and I try not to be fancy and want to practice textbook certain steps of fixing a friendship or what social media says. And sometimes because it is important for us to have those heartfelt conversations, and when you tend to want to follow that 10-step guide, you tend to at times lose the emotional connection, and you are rushing to get, okay, let's get to step two. They say, Step two, you need to take me out on a date. Step three, you need to do this. But sometimes all that is needed is for you to just do step one.
Mm.
Take that first step and communicate and be open with each other and be receptive, you know. And at times, you just have to have an open conversation. And there will be times where maybe you might need even a mediator to say, you know what, I think the hurt that we are both harboring is too much, and I don't think we can have the conversation that just the two of us.
Yeah.
Maybe let's have a neutral person who will come in and help us be able to neutralize the situation, because we are not trying to break this. We are trying to build and to overcome this.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely then a mediator will be able to help. And the other thing is that don't use accusational statements. Like, you always don't show up, you always do this, you always do this, now you're making a blame game. But try to use things that are called I statements to say that when you did this, I felt hurt. Let me rephrase it. I statements to say that I felt hurt when 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 happened. I felt disappointed when I heard 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
This means that you are not necessarily putting a blame on them, but you're acknowledging how the action that was done has made you feel, which then creates that emotional connection, and also is promoting the kindness, because once you start using you, at times you even attack the person's character, and that really can get very heated, because everyone wants to defend themselves. And if someone comes and says, "Man, you're always doing this, you're always doing this," I will definitely say, "No, I don't always do that.
Remember the time I did
this. Remember the time I did this." You know, and at and now it means that we are now shifting from the conversation, and we are focusing on me defending myself. You know, and the other thing is also be an active listener at the end. Of it all, and also be very solution orientated, depending on the issue that you're facing. Because, as I said before, that you're not trying to break the friendship, you are trying to build it. But also, on the other side of it, sometimes it's okay to let go. Not because you no longer love them or care about them, but you get to a season in your life and you realize that we have served each other very beautifully. But where we are now and the misunderstanding that we've had does not allow us to continue.
Yeah.
We are going to have this conversation and we are going to be okay with each other. But when I see you on the street, I'm not going to look the other way.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to feel comfortable to give you a hug. But it just means that we're no longer that close, you know? So I think that's also an important thing, that even when you decide not to continue the friendship, don't make it a blame game, she said, but have it in a context of kindness. And the other thing is that timing and the tone matter.
Timing and tone.
You know, there are people who want to deal with things like as they happen, like I'm that person. Whenever a misunderstanding happens, I want to talk about it. Let's get a call right now.
Yeah,
but then there are some people who still want the thing to simmer. You know, they want to think about it. They want to put their words in order. So it's important that even in friendships, you understand your five languages and you show up yourself to know that, okay, this time I think wants to do things, and we then solve our misunderstandings according to say, okay, this is an issue. It's very simple. We can get on a quick call and just solve it right now. So this is something that we both have to fix this and just let the emotions and the hot-headedness to simmer down before we can have the conversation. And also the tone matters. I think I can't emphasize the tone more more enough, because in as much as you can have the words, but how you say the words is really important. So your words need to embody kindness and compassion in all that you do.
Beautiful. So before I let you go, just one question. How would you say faith-based principles help girls to create deeper, more meaningful connections with their friends?
As I mentioned before, that the Bible carries so many principles of friendships, and it is. I think once the Bible talks about something, it means that we need to take it seriously, because it is something that is there to help us navigate the friendship. The first thing is for you to prioritize love and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matthew 22:39 says, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself."
Yep.
This means that you need to be able to love yourself before you love anyone else, because it's another person of handicap. So by you loving yourself, you are then able to love your friend accordingly. If you love yourself, whether you fail the exam or not, you love yourself whether you are able to buy the groceries in that month or not, you love yourself whether you didn't stick to that diet or you did stick to that diet.
Yeah.
So that means that once you're able to love yourself in those areas, so you are able to show up and not show up for yourself, you take that love and then you duplicate it into a friendship where now you love your friend where they're able to show up for you or not in that season, and so on and so forth, you know. And to also practice forgiveness and grace. As I said, that we tend to think that friendships are just an automatic thing. We can do whatever we want and everything's going to be all good and rosy. But friendships take work. And whenever something requires work, it means that there are going to be times when you need to forgive. There are going to be times when you need to extend grace. And you understand that certain people, at certain times, at certain seasons of their life, they cannot be able to show up for you.
Yeah.
For example, if your friend is just starting university at UCT and they are in COVID, you can't expect them to then travel for one day to our party at a certain restaurant.
Yeah.
So it means that now you're extending the grace and say that me and you are still friends, but because of the I understand that in this part or in this area of my life, you are not able to show up right now. And it doesn't mean that you have any intentions towards me.
Yeah.
The other thing that you need to cultivate and invest in your friendships. The same way that we invest in other relationships, whether it's family, God, or even a partner, you need to be able to water your friendships. You need to be able to plant good seeds in your friendships, and you need to be able to cultivate the ground that you've planted as seeds in. Because you can't plant seeds of hate, of not showing up, of bad words, of just not character, and you expect your friendship to be titled the best friendship of the year. It doesn't work like that. Like every other thing, you need to put in the work. The Bible talks a lot about putting in the work so that you can be able to reap a good reward at the end. So even with friendship, you need to understand that whatever you put in, whatever measure, effort, or whatever big effort that you put in, that is exactly what you're going to reap at the end of the day. So taking that biblical principle of being planted a good seed on good soil, make sure that you're also planting good seeds in your good friendship so that it can be able to grow and bear much fruit when the season does come. So it's
the best seed
for you.
Love it. Thank you so much, Netemba Phakathi. Thank you for your time. We really appreciate the conversation and all the insights that you've shared on friendship. Very interesting. And family, if you have anything that you'd like to share or any questions that you might have, feel free to send those through to +27 73 470 3520. Sneh, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me, Bonnie. Have a good morning.
Same to you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.